From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews as he brings the next portion of a two-part message on the theme of Bearing the Unbearable Through Faith in Christ, recounting the testimony of ordinary Christians who endured torture and martyrdom for the sake of the Lord. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, He Lowers to Raise. The text is 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 7. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. All my changes come from Him who never changes. If I had grown rich, I should have seen His hand in it, and I should have praised Him. Let me equally see His hand if I am made poor, and let me as heartily praise Him. When we go down in the world, it is of the Lord, and so we may take it patiently. When we rise in the world, it is of the Lord, and we may accept it thankfully. In any case, the Lord hath done it, and it is well. It seems that Jehovah's way is to lower those whom He means to raise, and to strip those whom He intends to clothe. If it is His way, it is the wisest and best way. If I am now enduring the bringing low, I may well rejoice, because I see in it the preface to the lifting up. The more we are humbled by grace, the more we shall be exalted in glory. That impoverishment which will be overruled for our enrichment is to be welcomed. O Lord, Thou hast taken me down of late, and made me feel my insignificance and sin. It is not a pleasant experience, but I pray Thee make it a profitable one to me. O, that Thou wouldst thus fit me to bear a greater weight of delight and of usefulness. And when I am ready for it, then grant it to me for Christ's sake. Amen.
Overwhelmed by His mercy, amazed by His grace, I am cleansed from all sin, every sign, every trace. Jesus left heaven's for those Himself to abase. I'm overwhelmed by His mercy and His all-sufficient grace. God's everlasting mercy, oh, what tender relief, when burdened with sorrow and laden with grief, when I think that on Calvary Christ died in my place, I'm overwhelmed by His mercy and His all-sufficient grace.
Overwhelmed by His mercy
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A. W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship. This small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it.
Thank you.
first part of chapter 11 of Hebrews lists specific Old Testament characters who demonstrated great faith in God. But beginning in verse 35, there is a transition to a number of unnamed saints, many of whom paid with their lives for their faithfulness to the Lord. According to the passage, these heroes of faith chose cruel torture and martyrdom in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. As Dr. Cairns has explained, there are several possible interpretations for that expression as it was understood by those Old Testament martyrs. Certainly, those who died had an eye to eternal life. Also, they considered death for Christ to be infinitely better than what the world could offer. A third view is that those martyrs knew that all people would be raised, some to life eternal, and some to everlasting punishment. In faith, they chose the former. As we'll see today, others were said to be tempted, that is, they were subjected to mental torture, which can be far worse than physical pain. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this portion of the first message on the theme, Bearing the Unbearable Through Faith.
I don't think Paul could have written about stoning without thinking of Stephen. Though he's not the primary reference, he must have been in the apostle's mind. I think I can see Paul as he pens these words. The man's mind goes back to that day when he was a ringleader and he could see the stones crashing into the angelic features of one of the greatest men of God the world has ever seen, and one whose ministry, this is another subject that I touched on years ago in dealing with the book of the Acts, but one whose ministry I believe was the first of all the early apostles and their helpers to begin to teach the very distinctive truths that Paul was led to preach to the Gentile world. Paul could see that stoning. Yes, others were stoned. Paul himself was stoned. He knew what he was talking about. He was left for dead after having been stoned. Others were sawn asunder. There's a very strong Jewish tradition that that's how the prophet Isaiah died. That Manasseh, the wicked king of Judah, actually had him sawn asunder. Now we come to a strange word. Others were tempted. Now watch where this falls. It says, some were sawn asunder, then tempted, then slain with the sword. Now that has caused a lot of problems. People who think they know better than the Holy Ghost and can rewrite the text of Scripture and tell God what he ought to have written if he'd only had enough sense. A lot of these arrogant critics come here and they rewrite this section because they say it doesn't make sense to talk about people being sawn asunder and then other people being put to death by the edge of the sword. And in the middle of them you put the anemic word, tempted. It doesn't make sense. How stupid men are. This word only sounds mild. The very point of it is this. That physical suffering can be terrible. Physical death can overwhelm the mind with fear. But equally, physical suffering and physical death in and of themselves very often are the easiest to overcome. But there's a temptation that is like putting a sword into the heart and into the mind that's far worse than anything physical. I've already mentioned to you that young man, the last of seven sons. When the temptation came, how difficult at that point to suffer. I've mentioned to you Eleazar. What a temptation. You can eat a piece of lamb. Why, you wouldn't die if you eat the lamb. Why not do that? Can you imagine the turmoil that the devil would introduce into the mind? You're a martyr if you go to the stake or if you go to the wheel or whatever. for eating swine's flesh, but you're a fool if you go to your death for eating lamb's flesh. In the early New Testament or post-New Testament period, you have one of the most, I think, heart-touching stories of Christian heroism. Two historians all agree to call them frail women, fairly young women. One had the name of Perpetua, and the other had the name of Felicitas. Good names. We get Perpetual from Perpetua. She certainly has a testimony that lasts. Felicitas is a Latin word, not quite pronounced that way, but a Latin word that means happiness. These two young Christians, very young in the faith, in fact, so young in the faith that they had not been even baptized into the Christian community. That happened to them in prison when the elders of the church bought their way in. They baptized them and they had communion service together. But anyway, these young women were hauled before the judges. Perpetua had a little baby and she was nursing. Felicitas was about to give birth. They were ready to die. But you imagine the temptation. You remember, all of you mothers, what it would have been had someone come and taken your newborn infant from your arms. You think of how difficult it would be for you to choose for that to happen. Perpetua would never give in. There was a tearful scene in a prison cell when her heathen father, the only member of the family unsaved, when her heathen father came in, he wept and pleaded for her to give way for the sake of the child in her arms. That's the force of the word. They were tempted. She was tempted. No mother could feel, and even no dumb male could feel the sword thrust there. She went the gladiators, handing over her child. She went to die unflinchingly. God honored it, of course. It's another story how the very gladiator who led her out was led to Christ and himself became a martyr very quickly for the cause of the Savior. Felicitas, in the labor of childbirth, was mocked, told that this labor would be nothing compared to what she would suffer in the arena. Her answer was noble. She says, "What I suffer here, I suffer. But what I suffer there, there is one who will stand with me, and he will suffer where I suffer for him." She again to hand over a newborn offspring, make her way to the place of death. Tempted. I think you know that it's that temptation. It's the subtlety of the devil that makes it all the more difficult to do what's right. Whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved, the devil's going to use that subtlety to tempt you, to betray you into the wrong action. If you're in the meeting unsaved, the devil may well recognize that he's not going to get you down on the road to hell and rejection of Christ by telling you there is no God. He's not going to keep you in a thraldom by having you come right out and blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ and throw out the whole gospel. Nobody comes with a subtle argument, perfectly adapted to your weakness, perfectly adapted to your situation. He turns the screw at that time to keep you where he wants you. Man, flee from the most subtle argument of the devil. Embrace Christ. Some of you who are saved this morning, in the time of trouble and trial, are facing that subtle attack. I trust today that you'll know that perpetua-like stability, that you will say, my eyes on Christ. Whatever the argument, I will not feel it. Some were slain with the sword. They died in the slaughter of the sword, literally. Now contrast that with verse 34. Some escaped the edge of the sword. Now they had the same faith. This is where the charismatics all go wrong. They say they had revival, they had miracles in the old times, in the New Testament period, and parts of the Old Testament period. Therefore, if we have similar faith, we'll have miracles. Who said that? The Bible certainly doesn't say it. Some of them escaped the edge of the sword, but others with the very same God and this very same faith and the very same honor that the Lord has for his people, they suffered death by the sword. This happened to Urijah. You read of it in Jeremiah 26. Jeremiah in chapter 2 abridged the Jews that they put many of their prophets to death by the sword. Nehemiah says the same in chapter 9 and 26, that they slew their prophets. Many were slain by the sword. Many wandered, were destitute, were afflicted, were tormented, wandering in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Those were days of distress. That's too wide a reference for me to go through all the details of the Old Testament. You'll find that happening again and again. It happened to David. It happened in New Testament times. It happened throughout church history. When I read those passages, I think of the Waldensian church, the church in the Piedmont. Not this Piedmont, but that one in Italy. Think of them living in caves and dens and being hunted like wild animals. I think of the Scottish Covenanters. I think of people who paid the supreme price in order to be faithful to God. Now, they were driven from among men. Why? Because the world said they're not worthy of a place among us. But what does the Lord say? Of whom the world is not worthy. There's something here that I may develop next week, I may not, just as the Lord permits and leads, but I want to make the point now. Never forget it. The death of all these martyrs, the suffering of all these martyrs, was not a token of the judgment of God on them. It was a token of the judgment of God on their society. When God takes away the choicest of his saints, he is saying the world is not worthy of them. He's saying the world is ripe for judgment. You can extend that even. When God's church is faithful to him and yet is not seeing a mighty, powerful movement of the Holy Ghost it is a judgment of God, not upon his faithful church, but it is a judgment of God upon the idolatrous society in which they are living. We would need to pray for revival, not only for the good of the church, but if God doesn't send it, it will be the damnation of the nation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.